Welcome to the Building Community Podcast, a show for thought leaders like you. You know that success depends on relationships between your organization and the people in and around it. This season will focus on insider insights, where experts will let you in on their best practices in a specific area of community building. Together, we shine the light on how community helps you reach your corporate goals. I'm your host, Timona Pacha, and I've been empowering organizations for a decade and a half doing exactly that. Ready for it? Listen in as we set out to make communities thrive.
Organizations have started focusing on moments that matter.
And technology helps HR and people teams do exactly that. That and more of how organizations can focus on their team's needs is what I discussed in this episode with Gaurab Matray. Gaurab is the co-founder and the chief product officer at Tidy. He and his team enable companies to envision, design, and create meaningful employee experiences. These include the onboarding and offboarding processes, and both are human experiences that can be significantly improved by utilizing the latest technology tools. Interested in Gaurab and his work? Find out more in the show notes. There are a few experiences in our professional lives that we'll never forget, that stay with us long-term. And typically, our first day at an organization and our last day with a team are among those experiences that have settled deep in our memory. We remember what led up to these experiences and how we felt going right through these experiences. And we remember what we were thinking when we were welcomed as part of a team and when people were bidding farewell to us. And these are just two of the key experiences in our organizations that we can purposely shape for our teams. And we're here to talk about just that today. Welcome to the show, Gaurab.
Thank you, Simone.
You recently painted a scenario that truly resonated with me. You were talking about a time when we stopped buying from a brand because we didn't feel valued. We didn't feel seen and we didn't feel heard. And you put a call for action. You said to organizations, hey, don't make your employees feel exactly that same way. They will leave you. So I'm really curious about what made you put out this call for action and what that actually meant to you.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Each one of us has had an experience that has been frustrating, where we've left a brand or something that has delighted us and, you know, has increased the loyalty with the brand. And I can kind of think of two experiences that have happened. And I'll start off with one experience that was a poor experience. And this relates to my wife. She was waiting for a cab that she had called for one of the ride-sharing brands that we all use. And she was, you know, waiting to get somewhere. It was urgent. The cab was on its way. And then suddenly she received a notification saying the cab was canceled. And the reason for that was that she wasn't wearing a mask. That's what the driver wrote. But she knew that the cab hadn't passed her. It hadn't even reached her location. And this happened two more times where the driver's canceled. And when she decided to bring this up with the company, she found no way of reaching them. And she absolutely banned that ride-sharing company and started giving business to another one. That's a very clear kind of example of an experience that wasn't managed well. And a customer wasn't given an opportunity to interact with the brand, created a loss of business. On the other hand, I had a great experience about a year ago with an airline. And, you know, all of us know airlines are super frustrating most of the time. So this was super delightful. We were traveling somewhere. It was a last minute trip and we got to the airport. Two of my friends ended up getting on the flight and I had to rebook my flight. Now, the rebooking experience essentially involves you having to go into another line and go and rebook your ticket. And whatever flight is available is what they'll put you on. When I went downstairs, I noticed that line was super long. I knew based on previous experiences, it was going to take about 2.5 hours just standing in the line and all the tickets would not be available. You know, I got on my phone and I started looking for other options and I found a way to message the airline I was traveling with. And amazingly, within 10 minutes, a customer service representative just through texting had resolved this fairly complex rebooking and I was on my way to get onto that other flight that was rebooked for me. That was the most delightful airport experience I've had. Now, if you think of these moments, they were really tiny, but those affected the way we perceived the brands that we were interacting with. And when you think about our workplace, we spend about 90,000 hours of our life interacting with the companies we work with. And I would bet that most often than not, we want to have delightful experiences and not frustrating experiences. So because of this, I think the consumer experiences we have outside are great examples of what companies we work with should also provide us with so that we are loyal with them and give our best while working with them.
Yeah, so take what we learn from the consumer experience and to transition it into the employee experience. The question here is, you're talking about those tiny moments, right? Those are things that are minutes out of our lives, but that shape our impression so much. How does an organization actually, from an HR perspective, from a people perspective, because there are so many touch points as we're working with an organization. For me, for example, I worked with an organization for 16 years. There were probably millions. So what key touch points can an organization focus on to actually have a positive impact?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there has been a noticeable shift in what organizations focus on, right? I think for a long time, it was about looking at employees and thinking of the tangible outcomes that they're providing. How many hours you've worked, tasks completed, how many products have been shipped. But today, it's the intangible aspects that are equally valued. Organizations have started focusing on moments that matter. That's a term we've heard quite a lot over the last, 10 years, I would say. And that's a great kind of start. However, the approach to addressing those moments is, I think, something that can be improved on. Because these moments are really the milestones when those experiences come to life. But it's the journey of getting that employee there to that milestone is what really needs to be curated. So if I'm thinking about joining a company, the moment that matter is day one. But while day one is obviously the culmination of my experience, it's actually everything that has happened before it. If I'm getting promoted as a manager, that is really a transition. So when I get promoted, it's definitely a milestone, but how have I been equipped to become that great manager, right? That is really important. So the perspective that I think companies should apply is obviously figure out the key milestones that are critical to the employee, but it's also important to make sure that you think about the spaces in between. Because if you think of it, the real opportunity to improve the experience is in those spaces in between.
So curating experiences that lead up to these touch points, and the touch points are leading us in our transition from one set of experiences to another set of experiences. That makes me think about trying to really understand the personal, the experiential level. How does a person experience the emotions in this transition state? Because typically we're thinking of onboarding, okay, one day, offboarding another day. Moving from one role to the other, another day. But you're right, what really counts is what happens before and as we're transitioning, in the weeks before, in the months before. Did they have to fight for that promotion? How was the application process? Did they have to go through 8 rounds of interviews and do a presentation? Or was it done in 3?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make one experience actually stand out so I have a positive view of that organization?
Yeah, this is definitely fascinating. Emotions are at play at every single moment in the experience, whether it's a transaction or whether it's an interaction with another person. Emotions are something that we always need to keep in mind. I'm a designer by craft, and one of the things that I did for about 16 years before I started Tidy was designing products for consumers. And they range from an activity tracking device to a connected coffee machine, a stock trading application, and even like a guest experience for a hotel. Now, the reality is the technology solutions that were implemented were actually just tactics, right? But what we needed to really focus on was what was the human behavior change that we wanted to induce in that specific moment. It's really making sure that companies think about what is the change in behavior that they want to affect. So if a manager is going to become a manager, we really need to make sure that that manager is equipped enough to have that transition. Do they have the right skills? Do they have the right tools? Do they have the right mentors? So that when they start owning that role, they should essentially be able to fulfill it. So there is a, before, during, and after support system that needs to be provided so that when they need help, When they have wins, we should celebrate them. When they have challenges, we should give them somebody to solve them. And all of these moments are very critical in this process.
So you're talking about the support system. You're talking about equipping your team members with the tools, with skills, with mentors, as you said. That is fairly easy with the smaller entities I work with, right? I see that with the startups, with the nonprofits. It's really tough when you have organizations with thousands of team members, and it gets really hard when they're spread out across the globe. So how do you actually go about scaling that human aspect in organizations?
Yeah, so scaling breaks things, breaks organizations all the time. Whether an organization is at 50 and then they go to 100, if they go from 100 to 500 or 500 to 5,000 and beyond, right? Scale always has a way to kind of really push your limits. And it also makes you realize what becomes important. What is critical at that point is to zoom out and really look at what is it that you can potentially hand over to technology and what is it that you really want humans to do. Technology is a tool and it's a facilitator to help you really do the things that you do well better. So when you're going through the process of scaling, you need to kind of really look at what are the repetitive tasks, the complex tasks that maybe are slowing down or taking up a lot of resources, right? Whether it is compliance tasks, whether it is some logistics tasks that you need to do. There are a lot of those things that when you're a smaller organization, you don't think about because that one person or three people are doing it. And that is the right solution for that time. But when you become an organization that is hiring 100 people a week, that kind of process does not scale. The second thing is to think about the moments that require more of a human interaction. Hopefully your teams do have the bandwidth to build relationships, you know, guide people one-on-one, speak to mentors, have conversations that are going to provide that personalized experience, and also create programs that will potentially do this. And nothing is always perfect. So using your team and your, you know, audience, who is essentially your employee base, to constantly give you feedback is also important. Because again, the misconception of a system is that once, you know, build it and, you know, set it and forget it. That's how systems are thought of. But as the organization evolves, you need to keep collecting feedback and really implement it back into the system. That's the power of technology. You can make changes real time, which is what helps you stay iterative. And so those are the three things I would say, you know, you need to do to help scale. Automate all the repetitive tasks that, you know, are slowing you down. Really focus on human interactions and make sure that you're constantly taking feedback so that the people who are consuming this experience do have a way to help you make it better for the future.
I like this thought of using technology, not just to replace what we're not doing well, but to actually use it to do what we're already doing well, even better. And that human component that you're bringing in, that reminds me of something that you said to me recently when you were talking about creating onboarding experiences where a tech system has evolved to a point where it sends either flowers or other things to people who are working from home or working remotely, not just the typical swag that we see, but to actually personalize that experience where you have certain vendors and already during the onboarding process, you create some sort of a persona of the person that's joining your team and you decide, oh, these are the experiences that this person would appreciate.
Yeah, the way I look at it is technology makes space for us to provide more human experiences. That's what technology is helping us do. As organizations grow and the processes get streamlined, you can start providing these unique experiences. So one of our customers has automated the entire onboarding process using Tidy. But what they've also done as a part of the automation is send timely notifications to the local flower vendors in whichever city they are hiring. And about 2 days before the new hire is starting, the flower vendor has a personal note already written by the manager. They have the date when the person's starting, their address, and, you know, just their basic details to be able to then send 1 day before the person joins a bouquet on behalf of the company and the team. And that really creates that, you know, beautiful in-person experience, which today in today's hybrid world is really hard to mimic. But this is a very kind of tangible experience, but it's facilitated by technology. But it's hard to imagine as you have 30,000 people joining your company in a year. But technology can enable that. And, you know, these companies who are amazing employer brands have envisioned experiences for their new hires, but facilitated them using technology.
The question that comes to mind here is the data perspective, right? Data and analytics, it's always a very tricky subject. And people don't always want their employer to know everything. So where do we draw the line here?
Yeah, all of us are living in a world where we have CCPA, GDPR, all of these data privacy rules coming into effect, and for good reason. The reason why it has become a negative thing is because companies and the consumer world have abused it knowingly or unknowingly. And yes, we need to take a complete extreme perspective on this to make sure that that doesn't happen. When it comes to an employee experience or anybody using data, it is about consent and responsible use. Our relationship with data is really correlated to the value that you get from it, right? So when you think about, let's say, Uber, your address is in the app. And the reason why you do it is because you are getting the convenience of a cab coming to you. There's value in you sharing your address with this company because you want that convenience. So there's a mutual benefit in some way, right? I think people are okay with having a healthy relationship with the data that they give to the companies that they're giving it to.
So it's about building transparency here as well, communicating what will the data be used for, building trust so people know it's only going to be used for what was disclosed, and providing value so that me as a future employee or me as a current team member, I see the value in giving you as organization my personal data that goes beyond maybe just my address, but maybe also letting you in a little bit into my life and sharing my likes and dislikes with you, telling you about what my hobbies are so that you can then personalize those experiences better as an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to reduce the anxiety, increase the delight in those experiences. And in no way should that data be used for something malicious. And you're right, transparency is really key. And when we talk about designing the experience, these kind of consent touch points and communication elements need to be involved as you're collecting that data.
So how is the data piece different from the analytics piece?
Yeah, so analytics have really focused on defensive metrics, something that you look back at. While it's important to track attrition and drop-off rates and all of those things, they are backward-looking. But what has been happening as a shift in analytics, what companies are doing is proactively collecting information from employees about what are the reasons that they stay. You know, why are employees at the company? What will make them happier? What will make them more fulfilled? Microsoft has started doing this, and they call it the thriving score, where they essentially send out pulse surveys every 6 months on a couple of different criteria. What they are doing is essentially proactively asking employees for data, for information, but they're using it to turn it around into a good experience. So analytics have been looking backward, but I think now, by creating scores that are forward-looking, using data that is being shared by employees with their consent, they can now use those analytics to provide better experiences.
And the better experiences that we want to provide, those not only start when the employee's onboarded and they don't end when the employee's offboarded. We've kind of changed this traditional approach of the employee life cycle a little bit. Yeah. Onboarding process starts way before, and offboarding starts way, way, way later than we're used to.
Yeah. And consumer brands have really evolved, right? Consumer brands have realized that customer success and loyalty is important. So you kind of start seeing all of our brands really focusing on you even after you've bought the product. The same correlation works with companies. It's not only about hiring, getting people into the door and getting them productive. It's really about making sure they're fulfilled at every step. So onboarding is really that first kind of gesture into inviting somebody and making sure that you set the right expectation of what both of you can expect from each other. What can I expect from the employee? It is the employee's responsibility to also make sure that they share with the company how they're going to be valuable. And the company also needs to kind of really fulfill the promise that they had while they were hiring, to ensure that this employee is going to grow continuously and have a two-way relationship, a mutually beneficial relationship. And that goes on through the entire employee lifecycle, right to offboarding and beyond offboarding as well. Yes, it's definitely changed.
Let's talk about this beyond offboarding. The conversations you and I have had before were about community, about corporate alumni networks, about providing more than we're used to our employees, to our team members, continuing that relationship forward, also while they're engaging in career development outside our organization.
Yeah, offboarding is a very interesting topic, and most often than not, something that people don't like to talk about. But I think the attitude needs to change. You know, we think of offboarding as, you know, onboarding into becoming an alumni, you know, becoming a lifelong evangelist, because that's really what an employee can become if you have given them a good experience. In today's market, it seems like that is becoming more and more common, that employees leave and they come back because maybe they realize that the promise that they were sold in the other company wasn't as good. So it is very important to build that relationship and keep that relationship even after the employees left the organization.
And who's responsible for this experience and this relationship that people have during the onboarding process and beyond?
Yeah, so I think there's definitely two different maybe groups of people. The common myth has been that it is an HR problem, right? That's the common myth. In onboarding, there is a lot of people who are involved. You know, you do have the recruiter, the manager, the buddy, the HR team, the IT team, the operations team, and so many people behind the scenes who are really making sure that the experience of this one person is consistent, seamless, frictionless. If it's all done well, it all comes together. The HR team, you know, can't take the burden of the entire experience. There's too many things that happen in that process. Offboarding is slightly different. I think it is also very new. You know, I think onboarding is really maturing right now, but offboarding is really something that hasn't been paid too much attention so far. So while HR is a stakeholder, I've definitely seen new roles of alumni relationship managers and things like that coming up, where people really need to have that skill of community building. And that's the kind of role that is evolving and coming into play when it talks about, you know, the alumni networks and offboarding process.
So you're talking about alumni relations manager, but we've also previously talked about employee experience designers. So that goes into this entire thinking of creating experiences for our team members while they're there. And this mix between using technology and using the human aspect to actually create those experiences for our team members. So do you actually see a shift in organizations? Do you actually see this changing in real life in organizations out there today already?
Yeah, the skill set in HR is changing. I think the capability that we've talked about previously that is emerging is that in the future, you're going to need people who think about the entire experience and not just about those individual tasks. Because what is going to happen is that everything that is operational today potentially will get complemented with technology and will kind of get aided by it. So you will actually have more time and space to do other things. The reason why we need to focus on the human experience is also because that is something that is lacking, and that's why employees leave the organizations. And somebody needs to really orchestrate and ensure that this entire employee experience is managed well. And this goes back to that part where the role of an employee experience designer is what I see either the HR role evolving into or it becoming a new capability. Similar to people analytics, you have employee experience designers as a new role who will look at the end-to-end experience from onboarding to offboarding and beyond.
And as we're having these new roles develop, and this is kind of organically as I see it, people just add more capabilities and, like you said, also bring in new technology tools to create these new experiences and to react to what people actually need out there. The one big question that I always see is, how do we actually give our team members a voice throughout this entire process? How do we know what we're creating for them is actually a positive experience, is actually doing what it's intended to do?
Yeah. In reality, there's no kind of silver bullet. It's really important for us to kind of introduce this concept of being able to pilot initiatives and do the test and learn approach. The test and learn approach has been used a lot maybe in the technology teams. When you're building a product, But in people processes, of course, it has a lot of impact. So you really need to segment and make sure that you have a willful group. So if you're starting a mentorship program, it is important to make sure you first have a pilot group and make sure that you can test that out. And once you get feedback from that, you scale that up, right? So the mindset of how you're implementing these things is super important. Just going back to your part about how do you give people a voice? That's the part that correlates to this idea of the employee experience designer. If you look at the field of design, initially design was the realm of only people who could use specialized tools, right? It was almost this elite activity that you had to go and hire this designer, and everybody else who couldn't use those tools kind of weren't empowered to design or have a say in design. But then you fast forward and you start looking at tools like Canva. They allow and enable everybody to become a designer to a certain extent. And everybody does get empowered and now can actually start moving faster, right? They can start doing things. I think being able to deploy certain tools at a grassroots level to enable a lot more people is the same thing that needs to happen in the employee experience space. It's important to start empowering the HR and people teams, similar to how sales and marketing teams have been empowered to unleash their creativity. The same thing needs to happen in the people space.
To start small, iterate, give people the tools and the knowledge, empower them to actually make a difference themselves, and then start scaling and look at it in a big picture. We're talking about technology, and when we're talking about looking at the offboarding experiences and then at the onboarding experiences and everything in between, how can technology tools actually help us have a positive impact on our team members?
Yeah, so technology needs to be a facilitator for the human experience and really empower teams to create a better experience for the employees. For example, at Tidy, we help companies design, unify, and manage employee journeys. And we do this by enabling HR, IT teams, ops teams to automate processes and collaborate to make sure that the employee has a very personalized experience. And finally, you need to kind of make sure that they have all the analytics to make sure that the processes are working, but also to proactively take action. And this is what we do at Tidy. And we think this is the way technology should empower people teams.
Empower people teams by unifying the best of two worlds, digging deep, personalizing the experience for our team members, using technology to create the best human experiences for those that actually make our organizations tick and make us successful. With that, I want to thank you so much, Gaurav, for your time today. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Simone. This was really fun.
Thank you for listening to the Building Community podcast. Is there a leader in your organization or network who needs to hear this? Please share this podcast with them. Help get the word out about the immense value of community. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave us a review. Until next time, help your communities thrive.